Welcome, everyone, to The Deep Dive. I'm Tony Cannon, your guide, and today we are tackling, well, a really critical topic. It sits right at the intersection of national security, huge digital modernization efforts, and frankly, the kind of bureaucratic complexity every federal agency knows all too well.
And I'm Ronnie Brooks, the expert connecting the dots here.
Yeah.
Look, if you are listening and you're a federal CIO, maybe a program manager juggling a multi-billion dollar effort, or perhaps a DevSecOps lead just trying to keep up with new security mandates, well, this deep dive is pretty much your essential roadmap.
Yeah, our mission today is to analyze the source material we've gathered and really answer one key question: why U.S. federal agencies should adopt Atlassian to meet initiatives, mandates, and mission requirements to secure and accelerate speed to mission. And this isn't just about, you know, buying some software.
No, not at all. This is really about how agencies can deliver national capability faster and, crucially, more securely.
So set the scene for us. Where are federal agencies right now?
Well, they're truly at a critical point, an inflection point, really. Hmm. There's this immense pressure coming from two directions. First, they absolutely have to modernize decades of siloed legacy IT systems.
Right, the old stuff.
Exactly. And second, they've got to secure the entire software supply chain against, well, increasingly sophisticated threats, nation-state actors, you name it. And the ultimate goal, the phrase you hear everywhere, is speed to mission.
Speed to mission, getting capability out the door faster.
Precisely. Delivering value to the warfighter or to the citizen, just at the highest possible velocity.
But, and this is the key tension, right? Speed is kind of meaningless if it blows up security.
That's the balancing act.
Yeah.
And this leads us to the core thesis we pulled from, well, all the sources we looked at. Atlassian isn't positioning itself as just, you know, a collection of tools like Jira or Confluence. It's being framed as a central, unified system of work. The idea is that this system securely accelerates that mission velocity because it fundamentally breaks down the data silos that always seem to exist between the DevSecOps teams, the IT service management folks, and the program management offices.
Breaking down silos, that sounds like the holy grail for a lot of agencies.
It really is. And our findings, they point to three pretty undeniable truths that back this up. First, Atlassian seems to translate mandatory compliance, all those rules and regulations, into something that actually enables the mission rather than hindering it.
Okay, compliance as an enabler, not a blocker.
Right. Second, we found quantifiable, actual examples of mission acceleration. The standout is that, frankly, shocking 70% increase in launch tempo that the U.S. Space Force achieved. We'll definitely dig into that one.
70%? Wow, okay.
Yeah. And finally, the strategic documents lay out this really well-thought-out, prioritized, three-pronged go-to-market framework. It seems designed to de-risk the whole procurement process and provide a credible path for Atlassian into every kind of agency, no matter how high their security classification level needs to go.
All right, a lot to unpack there. Let's dive into part one. Before we even talk about Atlassian as a solution, we really need to understand the pressure points. What's forcing agencies to even consider abandoning those legacy tools, the ones they've used forever? These mandates, as you said, seem like the big opportunity here.
They absolutely are. The sources call this the federal imperative. And it really starts with the catalyst, the big bang for modern federal cybersecurity. Executive Order 14-28, signed back in May 2021.
Okay. AO 14020, the cybersecurity big bang, you called it. What did it actually mandate?
Well, it created this urgent, non-negotiable push for all federal agencies. They had to move operations to secure cloud services, adopt secure software development practices, really shifting from DevOps to DevSecOps, and dramatically, fundamentally improve their software's supply chain security.
So it basically forced the government's hand on modernization and security, setting a hard deadline.
Pretty much. It was a wake-up call.
How does Atlassian immediately fit into that picture? Let's start with the cloud migration piece.
Okay. The mandate to move to secure cloud, that provides this huge natural tailwind for something Atlassian built specifically for this market, the Atlassian Government Cloud, or AGC.
AGC. So it's not just their commercial cloud.
No, absolutely not. This isn't just, you know, AWS or FedRAM sticker slapped on it.
Mm-hmm.
AGC is a dedicated cloud environment, physically and logically segregated, running in AWS GovCloud. It's purpose-built to handle U.S. government data up to the FedRAMP moderate level. So it directly answers that cloud migration requirement from EO 140 to 028 for a huge chunk of the government.
Got it. FedRAMP moderate. And what about the secure development side of the EO?
Right. The EO demands agencies adopt these stringent baseline security standards for all software they build or buy. Things like static code analysis, dynamic analysis, vulnerability scanning.
So how does Atlassian help do that?
Well, the Atlassian DevSecOps tools, think Jira software, Bitbucket, maybe integrating with other security tools, they provide the actual mechanism. They give agencies the operational engine to incorporate those security checks into the development pipeline, manage the findings, track remediation, and ultimately build, test, and deliver secure software in a way that's crucially auditable. It helps them move from just talking about DevSecOps to actually executing it.
Okay, so it operationalizes the security requirements within the workflow.
Exactly.
Now, beyond cloud and secure code, modernization means rethinking network security too. That brings us to the Zero Trust Architecture Mandate, or ZTA. This sounds complex, but what's the core idea, the philosophical shift we need to grasp?
It's a fundamental change in thinking about trust. We're moving away from the old castle and moat model, strong perimeter. But once you're inside, you're kind of trusted. Trust but verify.
Right.
ZTA flips that completely. It's an identity-centric approach. Never trust, always verify. In the cloud world, your identity is the new perimeter. Everyone, every device needs to be constantly verified before getting access to anything. It's a massive technical lift, especially for collaboration and development tools that are accessed from everywhere.
And the sources highlight Atlassian Access as the key piece for implementing ZTA within the Atlassian cloud world. How does Access actually make ZPA work technically?
Atlassian Access is, well, it's critical because it handles the foundations. Mm-hmm. First, it enables centralized identity and access management, or IAM. It does this by integrating smoothly with the federal identity providers, the IDPs that agencies already use, like Azure AD Government or Okta Government Cloud.
So it connects to their existing identity systems.
Correct. And then, crucially, it enforces mandatory SAML single sign-on, or SSO, security assertion markup language. This means every single user trying to get into Jira Cloud or Confluence Cloud must be authenticated through their single verified federal identity managed by that IDP. No separate logins, no shadow IT accounts.
Okay, centralized identity via SSO. What about SCOM user provisioning? That sounds like just an admin feature for adding and removing users. Why is that considered mission critical for ZTA?
That's a great question because it often gets overlooked. SCOM's system for cross-domain identity management is fundamental to ZTA. ZTA is all about eliminating unnecessary or lingering access, right? Principle of least privilege, continuous verification.
Right, minimizing risk.
Think about a big federal agency or a large defense contractor. People change roles constantly. Contracts end. Personnel leave. In the old world, removing their access across dozens of systems was manual, slow, error-prone. You'd end up with all these dormant accounts just sitting there, waiting to be exploited. A huge insider threat risk. A massive audit finding waiting to happen.
Okay, I see where this is going.
SCOM automates that whole life cycle. Mm-hmm. When a federal employee or contractor's account is deactivated in the central IDP, let's say they leave the agency, SCOM automatically and instantly propagates that change and revokes their access across the entire Atlassian platform. Jira, Confluence, Bitbucket, everything tied to access.
So it kills the access immediately.
Immediately. It eliminates that danger standing access, significantly shrinks the agency's attack surface, and directly fulfills a core principle of zero trust. It's not just admin convenience, it's automated continuous security enforcement.
So bottom line, if an agency wants Atlassian Cloud and needs to meet ZTA mandates, Atlassian Access isn't optional, it's the foundation.
It's absolutely foundational. It's the technical gatekeeper that makes secure, compliant, and auditable cloud adoption possible in that ZTA world.
Okay, shifting from identity to the actual code itself. EO14028 also mandated the Software Bill of Materials, the SBROM. You described it as a nested inventory or list of ingredients for software, but just having the list isn't enough.
Right.
Exactly. And SBA by itself is just a static document. It's a list. Important, yes. But the real value comes from using it to manage risk actively. And this is where the sources position the Atlassian platform as a system that unlocks the genuine security and operational value of the SBOM. It happens across three key phases. Generation, management, and response.
All right, walk us through that sequence. How does it work in practice? Let's start with generation.
Okay. Many federal DevSecOps teams are already using tools like Bitbucket for their source code and CI/CD pipelines, continuous integration, continuous deployment. Bitbucket pipelines can be configured, often working together with other tools, maybe like Jenkins or specialized SBIOM generation tools, to automatically create that standardized SBIOM document every time there's a new software build or release.
So the inventory is created automatically as part of the build process.
Right. It ensures the SBOM is always current, reflecting the exact components in that specific version of the software.
Okay, the SBOM is generated. Where does this critical security document live? Phase two, management.
This is where Confluence comes in. It serves as the central, auditable, and easily searchable repository for these SBOMs. It's not just a file share, it's a structured knowledge base. You can store the SBOMs, link them to the software projects in Jira, store-related VX documents, vulnerability exploitability exchange documents, which tell you if a vulnerability actually affects your product, and make sure everyone who needs access, like compliance officers, security teams, even procurement folks, has a single source of truth. This is essential for continuous monitoring mandated by the EO.
Okay, central storage and Confluence. Now, the crucial part, you argue, is response. Use the Log4j example. That vulnerability caused widespread panic. How does Atlassian help in that scenario?
Right, Log4j was a perfect or maybe imperfect storm. Imagine that hits today.
Yeah.
CISA issues a critical alert. Log4j, vulnerability, CDE, whatever is being actively exploited. What happens next? A program manager or their security lead can instantly go into their Confluence repository and query the SBOMs across their entire portfolio, maybe dozens or hundreds of applications, to see exactly which ones use that vulnerable Log4j component.
So step one is rapid identification using the SBOMs in Confluence.
Exactly. No guesswork, no frantic emails to dev teams asking, do we use this? You get a definitive list. Then step two, they immediately use Jira, maybe Jira Software or Jira Service Management, to create high-priority vulnerability response tickets, or EPICs. These tickets are automatically linked to the affected applications identified via the SBOM.
And assigned directly to the right teams.
Yes, assigned to the correct development teams responsible for patching those applications. But here's the most critical part. Jira allows them to track the auditable remediation process end-to-end. Leadership can see in real time which applications are patched, which are in progress, which are blocked. They have a dashboard view of their exposure and their response posture across the entire enterprise.
So it's not just about managing tasks, it's about managing enterprise-scale cyber defense actions in a provable way.
Absolutely. It transforms Atlassian from just a dev tool or a wiki into a mission-critical cyber defense coordination platform. It provides that real-time auditable trail that leadership and, importantly, oversight bodies like CISA need to see. It demonstrates the agency is actively identifying, managing, and mitigating supply chain risks across their entire software landscape, which directly fulfills the EO 140.0.28 requirements for continuous monitoring and incident response.
That's a powerful connection. Managing work becomes managing coordinated cyber response.
Okay, let's pivot slightly. Let's talk about the Department of Defense, the DoD, and the Defense Industrial Base, the DIB contractors. They have their own specific challenge. CMMC and NIST 800-171 controls, particularly for protecting CUI-controlled unclassified information. Right, this is a different flavor of security challenge, often more stringent in certain areas than general federal requirements. CMMC, the Cybersecurity Model Certification, essentially enforces the controls laid out in NIST special publication 800-171. And a key point that came up in the community discussions we reviewed is that handling CUI often has data residency and control requirements that standard public multi-tenant clouds, even FedRAMP moderate ones like AGC, might not meet today.
So if an agency or a DIB contractor absolutely has to handle CUI according to CMMC and NIST 800-171, and the standard cloud offering might not cut it right now, what's the immediate practical solution from Atlassian?
The immediate Briggs solution, the one that works today for these high-control scenarios, is Atlassian Data Center. This is their self-managed enterprise-scale offering. You can think of it like the on-premise version, though it's often deployed in a private cloud environment.
Self-managed, so the agency runs it themselves.
Exactly. The key advantage is control. The agency or contractor deploys data center within their own compliant environment that could be their own physical data center, or more commonly within a dedicated secure enclave in something like AWS GovCloud or Azure Government. Because they control the infrastructure, they can maintain full control over the network boundaries, data encryption methods, access controls, logging all the specific things required by NIST 800-171 to protect CUI.
So in the data center model, the agency takes on the authorization burden themselves, but they get the fine-grained control they need for CUI.
Precisely. The agency maintains its own authorization to operate, or ATO. For certain CMMC levels and CUI handling, that level of direct control is the only way to meet the requirements right now. And interestingly, they can also use Confluence within their data center deployment as the secure system of record to actually create, manage, and audit the foundational CMMC compliance artifacts, things like the System Security Plan, SSP, the Plan of Action and Milestones, POANM.
So a data center keeps high security customers on the Atlassian platform, even if the current cloud options don't meet their specific CUI needs yet.
Exactly. It locks in the platform for those critical DoD and DIB customers now, providing a path forward while the higher security cloud offerings mature.
Okay, one last mandate to cover in this section. FITARA, the Federal IT Acquisition Reform Act. This one feels less about technical security and more about financial accountability.
It is, but it's deeply connected.
Yeah.
FITARA is all about making sure CIOs have visibility into and accountability for the massive amounts of money spent on IT across the federal government. If you're a federal CIO trying to justify a $100 million modernization program, you need to show Congress and OMB exactly how that money connects to strategic goals and delivered mission outcomes.
And legacy tools often fail to provide that connection.
Terribly. Traditional portfolio management tools are notoriously disconnected from the actual engineering work happening on the ground. The CIO sees a high-level budget plan, the dev teams track tasks in Jira, and there's often a messy manual translation layer in between, usually involving spreadsheets and PowerPoints. There's no real-time traceable link.
So what's the Atlassian answer for providing that enterprise-wide, FITARA-level accountability?
That's the role of Jira Align. Jira Align is the strategic portfolio management layer that sits above the individual project teams using Jira software. It gives CIOs, PMOs, and finance folks that enterprise-wide real-time visibility, allows them to define strategic themes, allocate budgets to large initiatives or capabilities, and then see how those high-level investments directly connect down to the epics, features, and even stories being worked on by the development teams in Jira software.
So it connects the money to the code, essentially.
It provides that crucial, traceable link. It allows leadership to see in real time how strategic dollars are translating into delivered features and mission capabilities. And maybe more importantly, it helps them identify where the bottlenecks are, where dependencies are causing delays, enabling true data-driven FITARA accountability. It justifies the spend by showing the results.
Wow, okay. That covers a lot of ground on the mandates driving this shift. It's clear why agencies have to change.
And pressure is immense.
So now let's pivot to part two. This is where it gets really interesting, you said. How does Atlassian take all these compliance requirements, EO 14028, ZTA, CMMC, SBLOMS, FITARA, and actually turn them from a burden into an accelerator for mission velocity? You mentioned unification, the system of work.
Right. The core federal problem identified in the sources is pervasive and, frankly, crippling. One stat said 61% of U.S. government leaders report their critical data is siloed, locked away, and disconnected legacy tools.
61%. That's huge.
It is. Think about a typical federal process. Maybe it requires data moving between 15 different offices or teams. Each team might use a different spreadsheet, a different homegrown database, a different project management tool. When development, IT operations, and program management can't easily share real-time data or collaborate effectively, well, speed of mission doesn't just slow down. It often grinds to a halt.
That inefficiency, that friction, is the weakness that Atlassian is targeting with this system of work concept.
Exactly. The system of work is positioned as a strategic antidote to that bureaucratic inertia, that silo tax. It aims to create a single, connected platform where all work becomes traceable and visible.
All work, from strategy down to...
Pretty much. From the high-level definition of strategic goals and budget allocation in Jira Align, down to the development tasks in Jira software, the code commits in Bitbucket, the documentation in Confluence, all the way to the end-user help desk ticket resolved in Jira Service Management. Everything linked.
And that linkage is what breaks the silos.
That's the idea. It makes the work flow visible and auditable across teams and functions. We saw a quote from Leslie Benito, the CIO of the DoD's defense media activity, and we'll talk more about their case study later, but she specifically said they chose Atlassian to tear down stovepipes and fix the complete lack of integration in their old systems. That quote really nails the core value proposition.
Okay, let's make that tangible. Chase that unified thread for us. Walk through a hypothetical day in the life example showing how work flows across the platform.
Sure. Let's start at the top. Strategy and budget. Agency leadership, maybe working with a PMO, defines a high-level mission goal in Jira Align. Something big like modernize veteran health record access or achieve initial operating capability for hypersonic missile defense. Align is used to manage the overall portfolio, allocate budget to major program epics, visualize dependencies across maybe multiple teams or even contractors, and track progress against strategic objectives.
So the big picture view in Align, how does that connect down to the teams doing the actual work?
That strategic goal, that big epic in Align, gets broken down into smaller, actionable pieces, features, user stories, technical tasks, which are then managed in Jira software. Development teams pick up these tasks from their backlog in Jira software.
And the coding work itself.
As developers write code to implement a feature or fix a bug, they commit that code into Bitbucket, or another integrated Git repository. Crucially, they reference the specific Jira software issue key in their commit message. This automatically links the code change directly back to the requirement or task it addresses.
Traceability from requirement to code commit.
Exactly. And all the related technical documentation, maybe system architecture diagrams, API specs, security review notes, meeting minutes, decision logs, that's all captured and managed in Confluence. And again, those Confluence pages can be directly linked to the relevant Jira issues or epics, so you never lose the context. You can always trace from a line of code back up to the strategic initiative it supports and find the documentation explaining why it was built that way.
Okay, strategy to execution is covered. What about the operations side? The end users, the help desk. How does JSM fit into this unified thread?
This is often the most broken link in legacy setups. Yeah. So a user, maybe a warfighter in the field, a citizen accessing a government website, or even an internal employee encounters a problem. Maybe it's a bug, a system outage, or they just need help or want to request a new feature. They submit a request, which creates a ticket in Jira Service Management, JSM.
Standard help desk ticket.
Right. But here's the critical integration point. The help desk agent working the ticket in JSM investigates. Maybe they realize, this isn't just a password reset. This looks like a genuine software bug. Instead of sending an email or filling out a separate form for the development team, the agent can, directly within JSM, link that service ticket to a new bug ticket created automatically in the development team's Jira software project.
So it crosses the DevOps boundary seamlessly. All the relevant context from the user, the description, screenshots, logs, priority level is passed over instantly. The development team sees the bug report appear right in their backlog, already linked back to the original user request in JSM. And as the developers work on the fix in Jira software, the status updates can flow back to the JSM ticket, keeping the help desk and the original user informed.
That sounds significantly smoother than the usual process.
It eliminates so much manual handoff, duplicate data entry, lost context, and finger pointing between IT ops and development. It really closes that loop, connecting the end user experience directly back into the software development lifecycle.
Now, you made a strong claim earlier that Atlassian is the only platform providing best-in-class tools for PPM, Jira Align, DevSecOps, Jira Bitbucket, and ITSM, JSM, and crucially, integrating them natively. That sounds a bit like marketing speak. Let's push on that. What about competitors like ServiceNow, which is huge in ITSM, or Microsoft with Azure DevOps, or even GitLab, strong in DevSecOps? Where's the actual functional gap you're saying only Atlassian fills? That's a fair challenge, and it's important to be precise. The key differentiator isn't necessarily that competitors don't have tools in all three areas. Mm-hmm. It's about the native integration, the depth of capability in each area combined, and the resulting seamless workflow.
Okay, break that down. ServiceNow.
ServiceNow is, without question, a powerhouse in ITSM. World class.
Yeah.
But their roots are in ITIL processes. While we've added development and planning capabilities, like their SPM module, they often feel, according to users and analysts, a bit bolted on or require significant customization to truly integrate deeply with the developer workflow. This can sometimes inadvertently create or reinforce the silo between IT ops and dev teams, the very thing agencies are trying to eliminate. Atlassian's integration between JSM and Jira software feels much more native and developer-centric.
All right, what about Microsoft? They have Azure boards for planning, Azure repos GitHub for code, Azure pipelines for CI/CD, plus integration with tools like ServiceNow or their own Dynamics for service management. Seems like they cover the bases.
Microsoft definitely has a broad portfolio, and their Azure DevOps GitHub offering is strong, especially if you're fully bought into the Azure ecosystem. The challenge there can be twofold. First, it can feel like vendor lock-in. They naturally encourage you to use their entire stack. Federal agencies often have a much more heterogeneous environment, using best-of-breed tools from various vendors like Jenkins, SonarQube, Artifactory. Atlassian's open DevOps approach is specifically designed to integrate with and orchestrate those existing tools rather than forcing a rip and replace.
Okay, openness versus lock-in. What's the second challenge with Microsoft?
The second challenge, particularly relevant for high-security federal, relates back to the deployment models and compliance, which we'll get into more detail on later. While Microsoft has government clouds, Atlassian's strategy with AGC, data center, and the planned isolated cloud provides a very specific tiered approach designed explicitly around federal compliance levels like FedRAMP High and DoD IL5, potentially offering clearer data sovereignty assurances for the most sensitive workloads down the line.
Interesting. And GitLab, they're purely focused on the DevSecOps lifecycle.
Right. GitLab offers a very strong, unified DevSecOps platform. If an agency's primary need is just to consolidate their source code management, CI/CD, and security scanning into one tool, GitLab is a powerful contender. But that's also its limitation in this context. It's fundamentally a DevSecOps platform. It doesn't have a comparable enterprise-grade solution for IPSM like JSM, nor does it offer the strategic portfolio management capabilities of Jira Align.
So GitLab serves the dev team well, but not the help desk or the CIO's office.
Pretty much. Atlassian's pitch is that they can run the agency's entire mission workflow, connecting the PMO, the developers, and the IT operations help desk on a single integrated platform. GitLab really only addresses the middle piece of that chain effectively at enterprise scale.
Okay, so the argument is Atlassian provides best-in-class depth across all three key domains, PPM, DevSecOps, ITSM, and crucially, integrates them natively in a way competitors either don't or do so less effectively, avoiding silos.
That's the core competitive differentiator they're highlighting. It's about the unified workflow and data model that spans strategy, execution, and operations.
So if this unification works, how does it actually translate into quantifiable value? How does it deliver that speed to mission we talked about? Let's get concrete.
It works through three primary mechanisms based on the case studies. First, real-time intelligence. Because all the work is connected and visible on one platform, leadership isn't flying blind or waiting weeks for status reports. They can instantly identify bottlenecks where is work getting stuck, which dependencies are causing delays.
And they can reallocate resources faster.
Exactly. They can see where teams are overloaded or underutilized and shift resources efficiently to meet the highest mission priorities.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that quote from the DMA CIO? Everything now can be visualized, and I know what everyone is working on at a glance. That immediate insight allows for rapid course correction, and that is mission acceleration.
Okay, real-time intelligence leads to faster decisions. What's the second mechanism?
Reduced friction. This is about clawing back all the wasted time and effort that comes from context switching and manually moving data between disconnected legacy tools. Every time a developer has to stop coding to update a status in a separate project management tool, or an ops person has to manually copy-paste ticket information into an email for the dev team.
The mission slows down.
Precisely. Atlassian aims to automate as much of that administrative overhead and data transfer as possible through integrations and workflows, letting people focus on their actual jobs, building, testing, deploying, supporting.
Makes sense. Less overhead equals more productive time. And the third mechanism, you mentioned collaboration earlier.
Yes, seamless collaboration. This was really highlighted in the U.S. Space Force example. They used Confluence mission pages. Think dynamic dashboards or status pages. These pages automatically pulled in real-time data and updates from Jira and other sources, covering inputs from maybe 20 different squadrons and external partners like the FAA.
Replacing manual reports.
Completely. It eliminated the need for time-consuming manual status roll-up reports and endless coordination meetings. Everyone involved in the mission, from leadership down to individual contributors, could see the latest authoritative status in one place, updated automatically. That level of shared, real-time situational awareness is critical for complex operations and directly enables faster, more coordinated action.
Okay, so unifying the work provides real-time intelligence, reduces friction, and enables seamless collaboration, all leading to faster mission delivery.
That's the theory, and according to the case studies like USSS, the practice as well.
That Space Force 70% tempo increase really is a powerful number. But it does bring up a crucial question for the federal market. You've got agencies like the VA dealing with massive amounts of public data, needing FedRAMP moderate. Then you have the DoD dealing with CUI, needing NIST 800, 171 controls. And then you have the intelligence community operating in highly classified, air-gapped environments. How can one platform possibly handle that incredible diversity of security and compliance needs?
This is where Atlassian's three-pronged deployment strategy becomes really important. The sources suggest it's actually quite strategic because it aims to de-risk the procurement process by offering a viable, compliant path for essentially every type of federal agency, regardless of their data sensitivity or network requirements.
Okay, three prongs. Let's break them down. Prong one. The baseline, the default path for most civilian agencies.
That would be the Atlassian Government Cloud, AGC. We touched on this earlier. It's a dedicated multi-tenant cloud environment hosted in AWS GovCloud US. Key things to remember, physically and logically segregated, access limited to U.S. government entities and their vetted contractors, and crucially, it's FedRAMP moderate authorized.
FedRAMP moderate. So who is this primarily for?
This covers the majority of federal civilian agencies, think DHS, VA, State Department, Energy, HHS, and so on. It also covers many DoD components whose data falls under the FedRAMP moderate impact level. It's designed to be the scalable, managed, compliant path to the cloud, directly answering that EO 140UA mandate for a large part of the government.
But you mentioned limitations. What can't AGC do?
Right. Important caveats. As of now, AGC is not authorized for FedRAMP high workloads, nor for the DoD's impact level 4, 5, or 6 data. IL-5 is a common requirement for controlled unclassified information or mission-critical systems in the DoD. Also, the apps available in the Atlassian marketplace for AGC are limited, and they have to be specifically vetted and authorized for that environment, so the selection is smaller than the commercial cloud.
Okay, so AGC covers the broad middle ground, but not the highest security tiers. That brings us to prong 2, the solution for those immediate high control needs, like CUI or air gap networks.
That's where Atlassian Data Center comes back into play. As we discussed, this is the self-managed offering. Its strength is giving the agency maximum control and enabling compliance today for scenarios where AGC isn't sufficient.
So who specifically needs data center right now?
Two main groups, according to the sources. First, those DoD components and their DIB contractors who absolutely must handle CUI and meet the specific technical controls of CMMC and NIST 800-171. They deploy data center within their own controlled, accredited environment. Maybe AWS GovCloud IL5 boundary, Azure Government, or even on-premise classified networks, allowing them to meet those stringent requirements.
And the second group?
The intelligence community, IC, and other agencies that operate on completely air-gapped networks. These networks have zero connection to the public internet. For them, a cloud solution like AGC is simply not an option. Data center is the only way they can get the functionality of the Atlassian platform within their highly secured, isolated environments.
And you mentioned DoD's Platform One uses data center. That seems like a significant endorsement.
It's a huge validation point. Platform One is the DoD's flagship enterprise DevSecOps service, providing hardened tools and environments for software development across the department. The fact that they chose Atlassian Data Center as a core part of their offering demonstrates that it can meet the DoD's rigorous security, scalability, and governance requirements. That endorsement significantly lowers the perceived risk for any other DoD program thinking about adopting Data Center.
Okay, so AGC for moderate, Data Center for high control today. What's the third prong? This is the future-looking piece for the highest security needs.
Exactly. This is Atlassian Isolated Cloud. This isn't available yet. The sources suggest a target around 2026, but it's a critical part of their long-term federal strategy. Isolated Cloud is planned to be a single-tenant, Atlassian-managed environment deployed within a virtual private cloud, VPC.
Single-tenant, so no shared infrastructure with other agencies.
Correct. It offers the benefits of a managed cloud service. Atlassian handles the infrastructure, patching, updates, but in a completely dedicated, isolated environment for each customer. This eliminates the concerns some high security agencies have about multi-tenancy, even in a government cloud.
And the compliance target for Isolated Cloud is the key here, right? It addresses the gaps left by AGC.
Precisely. Isolated Cloud is being designed specifically to meet the highest levels of federal compliance, FedRAMP High, and, crucially for the DoD, Impact Level 5, IL5, possibly even IL6 down the road, although IL5 is the main target mentioned.
So who is Isolated Cloud aimed at?
It's aimed squarely at the crown jewels workloads currently stuck on-premise or in environments that agencies struggle to manage and modernize. Think national security systems, the IC agencies that aren't fully air-gapped, mission-critical DoD command and control C2 programs like JADC2, systems handling sensitive data subject to ITAR, International Traffic and Arms Regulations, or CJIS, Criminal Justice Information Services. Basically, the most sensitive, mission-critical government data that needs a managed cloud solution.
This sounds like it creates a very compelling strategic narrative, especially for those high-security DoD customers currently looking at data center. You called it a potential checkmate. Why?
Because it ties the entire strategy together and completely de-risks the long-term path for those customers. The message becomes incredibly powerful. Look, you need CUI compliance and IL5 controls today. Start with data center, deployed securely within your own accredited IL5 environment, just like Platform One does. It's proven it works now. Then, when you're ready for a managed cloud solution in a few years, our Atlassian managed isolated cloud will be ready and waiting for you, fully authorized at the IL5 level.
So it removes the uncertainty about the future cloud path.
Exactly. It prevents competitors from sowing fear, uncertainty, and doubt about Atlassian's long-term commitment to the higher security levels. It says, "We have a solution for you now, data center, and we have a fully managed, high-security cloud solution coming for you when you need it, isolated cloud." It locks in Atlassian as the strategic partner for the entire journey, from immediate needs to future modernization for the most sensitive missions. It's a very credible roadmap.
That three-pronged strategy, AGC, data center, isolated cloud, does seem to cover the bases comprehensively. But, you know, in the federal world, capability on paper is one thing. Proof is everything. Agencies need to see validated success stories, especially ones with hard numbers. Let's get into part four, validating the mission with quantifiable federal success.
Absolutely critical. And the U.S. Space Force, USSF story, particularly tied to Platform One, is probably the most potent example highlighted in the sources.
Right. You mentioned the 70% increase in launch tempo. Let's break that down. What was the actual problem they solved? How did they achieve that number? It sounds almost unbelievable.
It does. But the details make sense. The core challenge for the 5th Space Launch Squadron, 5th SLS at Cape Canaveral, was that their legacy systems and processes for mission assurance, basically, ensuring a satellite launch was safe, all systems were go, all checks completed, were incredibly manual, slow, and siloed. They were under this huge mandate from Space Force leadership to transform software delivery and operations from taking years to minutes.
Okay, slow, manual mission assurance. How did Atlassian tools automate that?
They implemented an integrated suite Jira software for workflow and issue tracking, Jira service management, likely for certain request types, and Confluence for knowledge sharing and status reporting, all deployed securely on DoD's Platform One infrastructure, likely using the data center model we discussed.
And the big time saving came from?
A huge chunk came from automating data processing and issue tracking related to launch readiness. The sources specifically mention that by using Jira software's capabilities, things like automated data filtering from various systems, customized workflows to match their launch processes, and linking related issues together, they eliminated a massive amount of manual data uploading, spreadsheet tracking, and status checking. The specific metric cited was saving that single squadron 120 data processing hours per week.
120 hours a week? Just from automating data handling in Jira?
Yes. That's three full-time equivalents right there, just on administrative overhead.
Yeah.
When you free up that much time, teams can focus on actual analysis, problem solving, and accelerating the critical path to launch. That's where the tempo increase comes from.
And you mentioned Confluence played a key role, too, replacing status meetings.
Right. They used Confluence to create dynamic mission pages. Think of things like the overall CAPE status report or the critical day of launch coordination page. Instead of someone manually compiling data from 20 different places for a PowerPoint briefing,
the Confluence page pulled it automatically.
Exactly. It automatically aggregated real-time data and status updates from Jira tickets, potentially other integrated systems, covering inputs from numerous internal USSF squadrons and even external partners like the FAA and Space Florida. This eliminated those time-consuming manual reports and status meetings. Everyone involved had access to the same live, authoritative picture of the mission status.
Shared situational awareness leading to faster decisions.
Precisely. When everyone sees the same real-time data, you can identify and react to changes or problems instantly, coordinating actions much faster. That collaboration piece was essential to achieving that overall 70% increase in launch tempo. And notably, this transformation earned them the 2021 Colonel Bradford W. Parkinson U.S. Space Force Innovation Award. It wasn't just an internal metric, it got high-level recognition.
That's a compelling story. Now, you also mentioned something about a sales multiplier related to the Iron Bank. Why is getting their tools into the Iron Bank such a big deal for selling across the rest of the DoD?
The Iron Bank. This is huge. Iron Bank is the DoD's central approved repository for hardened software containers, basically. Pre-packaged, pre-scanned, pre-approved software ready for deployment on DoD networks, especially within Platform One.
So it's like a DoD app store for secure software.
Kind of, yeah. For any DoD program or team to deploy a new piece of software, they typically have to go through a lengthy and often painful security accreditation process called an Authorization to Operate, or ATO. This involves tons of paperwork, security scans, vulnerability assessments. It can easily take 6 months, 12 months, sometimes even longer.
A major bottleneck to innovation.
A massive bottleneck. But if a tool like the Atlassian Suite components has already been vetted, hardened, scanned, approved, and stored in the Iron Bank,
then other DoD teams can just pull it down and use it.
Pretty much. They can bypass a huge chunk of that initial ATO burden. because the tools are already certified for use within the approved Platform One environment. The security work has largely been done up front. So the sales conversation shifts dramatically. It's no longer, hey, buy this new Atlassian tool and spend a year getting it approved. It's, hey, you need better project tracking, better collaboration. Just reuse the DoD approved, Iron Bank certified, USSF proven Atlassian tools that are already available for you to deploy today via Platform One.
That drastically lowers the barrier to entry and the perceived risk for other DoD organizations.
Hugely. It accelerates adoption across the entire department by leveraging the trust and certification already established through Platform One and the USSF success. It's a massive force multiplier for their DoD sales efforts.
Okay, USSF is the high-profile mission acceleration story. Let's switch gears to the Department of Defense's Defense Media Activity, DMA. You position this as the crucial blueprint for ITSM modernization, specifically as a ServiceNow takeout play.
Yes. The DMA case study is really interesting because it tackles that classic federal IT operational problem head on. They had a legacy help desk system, and the core issue, according to their CIO, was a complete lack of integration between the IT operations team handling tickets and the development team fixing the underlying software issues.
The classic DevOps wall.
Exactly. Information stovepipes, unhappy users because things took forever to get fixed, slow resolution times, lots of friction.
So they implemented a unified Atlassian platform, JSM for the service desk, Jira software for the dev teams, Confluence for the knowledge base. What were the results? You mentioned quantifiable outcomes.
The results are what make this the potential ServiceNow takeout blueprint. First, the implementation speed was remarkable. They achieved the entire transformation from kicking off the project to go live with a new integrated system in just 5 weeks.
5 weeks. For an enterprise ITSM rollout, that sounds incredibly fast, especially in the DoD.
It is incredibly fast. Industry benchmarks for similar ITSM implementations, especially replacing an incumbent like ServiceNow, often cite averages closer to 4 or 5 months, not weeks. Doing it in 5 weeks while meeting all the DoD security requirements is a massive testament to the platform's perceived ease of implementation and integration.
Okay, fast implementation. What about the operational impact?
The impact was significant. They reported a 39% increase in IT productivity, meaning the teams could handle more requests, resolve issues faster, and operate more efficiently. And importantly, this translated directly to the end user experience. They saw a 10% increase in customer satisfaction scores.
Faster, more efficient IT, happier users. Achieved in 5 weeks.
That's the DMA story. And it directly counters the narrative you sometimes hear that modernizing ITSM has to be this incredibly long, complex, high-risk, multi-million dollar undertaking. DMA proved it could be done quickly and deliver substantial results. That's a powerful message when talking to other agencies struggling with legacy service desks.
Definitely a strong counter-narrative. Okay, let's move to the Department of Veterans Affairs, VA. Here, the validation seems less about operational metrics and more strategic, coming from the top down.
Yes, the VA example is about formal, high-level endorsement. The key event was the VA's Office of Information and Technology, OIT, their central IT governing body, formally approving Jira Align for inclusion on their official technical reference model, or TRM.
The TRM. Explain why getting on that list is such a big deal within a huge department like the VA.
Think of the TRM as the authoritative list of technologies that are vetted, approved, and recommended for use across the entire VA. Getting any new technology onto the TRM is typically a rigorous process involving technical reviews, security assessments, and ensuring alignment with enterprise architecture standards. It's a significant hurdle.
So Jira Align made it onto the VA's official approved tech list.
Yes, but it's how it got there that's particularly interesting. According to the sources, the OIT's official justification for approving Jira Align wasn't just that it was a good tool, but that it provides functionality not available through other authorized TRM options.
So they identified a specific capability gap in their existing approved tools, and Jira Align was seen as the solution to fill that gap.
Precisely. This wasn't just a low-level team adopting a tool they liked. This was strategic recognition from the VA Central IT Authority that they had an enterprise-scale gap, likely around agile portfolio planning, dependency management across large programs, and connecting strategy to execution, the exact things Jira Align is designed for. And OIT determined that none of their other already approved tools could adequately address this need.
That's more than just approval. That's practically a recommendation based on unique capability.
It really is. It functions almost like a golden ticket for the Atlassian sales team, targeting the VA. It gives them an OIT-backed justification to go directly to the various program management offices, PMOs, across the VA's massive structure and say, "Your own central IT leadership has identified a critical capability gap that Align fills. Let's talk about how it can help your specific program." It provides powerful internal validation.
Okay, a strategic win at the VA. Finally, let's look at the Department of Homeland Security, DHS. What's the situation there? Are they already using Atlassian?
The market data and procurement records indicate that within many DHS components, Atlassian tools, particularly Jira and Confluence, are often already the incumbent standard, especially for agile project management and team-level tracking.
So they have a beachhead.
A significant one in many places. For example, the sources mention that U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, USCIS, explicitly lists Jira and Confluence as their standard agile project tracking tools in official documentation.
If they're already the incumbent for team-level stuff, how does that change the sales approach?
It shifts the conversation entirely. Instead of "why should you use Atlassian," the motion becomes, "you're already using Jira and Confluence successfully in pockets across the organization. How can we help you consolidate and standardize onto the platform enterprise-wide? How can we extend that success into enterprise service management with JSM? How can we elevate your planning from tactical project tracking to true strategic portfolio management with Jira Align?"
So it's about expanding the footprint and moving up the value chain from tactical tools to strategic platform adoption.
Exactly. And we're seeing evidence that DHS components recognize this need for standardization and higher level capability. The sources point to a current, as of 2024, procurement solicitation from the Federal Aviation Administration, FAA, which is part of DHS DOT, specifically requesting an Atlassian program and project management PPM solution that must run in a FedRAMP environment.
So the FAA is actively looking for a solution like Jira Align on AGC.
It appears so. This indicates active demand within DHS for that higher level PPM capability, moving beyond just team level Jira usage. The sales play becomes helping them achieve that consolidation and standardization onto the full Atlassian platform, leveraging their existing familiarity and success with the core tools.
Okay, these case studies provide compelling validation across different agencies and use cases, mission acceleration, ITSM modernization, strategic alignment, and incumbent expansion. Now we need to translate this into action. Let's move to part 5, go-to-market prioritization. We know the mandates, we know the successes. How should Atlassian actually target this massive federal opportunity? Who do they focus on first?
Right. Strategy is about choices. Given the scale and complexity of the federal market, prioritization is absolutely key. The sources suggest a combined approach is necessary. You need a top-down strategy, selling the high-level transformation story in tools like Jira Align and JSM directly to CIOs, program executives, and PMO leaders, leveraging those mandates like FATARA and modernization goals.
Selling the big-picture vision.
Exactly. But you also need a bottom-up strategy, expanding from the existing beachheads where DevSecOps teams are already using Jira and Confluence. Here, you leverage the trust built by things like the USF Platform One success and the Iron Bank certification to cross-sell and standardize. You need both motions working together.
Okay, top-down and bottom-up. Now let's get specific about agencies. Where should the primary focus be? Priority one has to be the Department of Defense, DOD. Right?
Unquestionably. Highest budget, largest number of users, most complex and demanding compliance requirements, CMMC, IL-5, etc., and arguably the most critical missions. The DOD is the biggest prize.
So what are the key plays within the DOD? How do they capitalize on the USSF success?
The primary play is expand, especially within the Air Force and Space Force, where they have that flagship success story. The sales team needs to systematically weaponize the USSF Platform One Iron Bank case study. They need to take it to every other program executive office, PEO, within those services, and say, "Your colleagues achieve 70% faster tempo using these DOD-approved tools. Why aren't you?" It becomes a repeatable, low-risk adoption path.
Leveraging validated success within the same department, what about tackling ITSM in the DOD?
That's the ITSM takeout play. Target large defense organizations with sprawling, often inefficient legacy help desks DISA. DISA, the Defense Information Systems Agency, is often cited as a prime example, but there are many others. Here you leverage the DMA success story, that 39% productivity boost, 10% CSAT increase achieved in just 5 weeks. The message is, modernizing your service management doesn't have to take years and cost a fortune. We can deliver rapid results just like we did at DMA. Sell JSM is the faster, more efficient, developer-connected enterprise ITSM standard, aiming to displace older, slower solutions.
Okay, expand from USSF, take out legacy ITSM with the DMA blueprint. What's the top-down strategic play for the biggest DoD programs?
That's the strategic PPM play, targeting the absolute highest levels, the DoD CIO's office, the Chief Digital and AI Officer, CDAO, and the leaders of massive, incredibly complex programs like JADC2, Joint All Domain Command and Control.
JADC2 connecting sensors and shooters across all domains. Sounds like a dependency nightmare.
Exactly. The sources describe these programs as having a crazy cobweb of dependencies involving hundreds of internal teams, multiple services, Army, Navy, Air Force, and dozens of external contractors all trying to deliver interconnected pieces. This is precisely the large-scale cross-program coordination and dependency management challenge that JIRA-ALIGN was built to solve. The pitch is, you need enterprise visibility and control to orchestrate JADC2 effectively. JIRA-ALIGN provides the real-time strategic view to manage those dependencies and prioritize work across the entire portfolio.
Got it. DoD is priority one. Who's priority two?
Department of Homeland Security, DHS, comes next. Why? They have a strong incumbent status for agile APM tools in many components, meaning less initial resistance. And their general data classification levels are often a perfect match for the FedRAMP Moderate Atlassian Government Cloud, AGC, simplifying the deployment story.
So how do you capitalize on the incumbency at DHS?
For components like USCIS, where Jira Confluence are already standard for teams, the play is expand. Move them up the value chain from just tactical project tracking to true enterprise PPM using JIRA-ALIGN, and push for adopting JSM for enterprise service management, ESM use cases beyond just ITHR, facilities, etc. Consolidate those disparate teams onto a unified platform.
What about landing new business within DHS?
That's the new land play, directly targeting opportunities like that active FAA procurement for an Atlassian PPM solution. Winning deals like that establishes fresh, high-profile reference points within DHS beyond the existing user base.
And is there a thought leadership angle for DHS?
Yes. A strategic evangelism play aimed at CISA, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, which sits within DHS. CISA is responsible for setting cybersecurity standards and guidance for the nation, including driving SBOM adoption. Atlassian should position itself not just as a tool vendor, but as a strategic thought partner to CISA, showing how the Atlassian platform provides the operational backbone that agencies need to actually manage the entire SBOM lifecycle effectively, generation, management, and importantly, response coordination. Become part of the solution narrative at the policy level.
Okay. DHS is priority two. Priority three.
Department of Veterans Affairs, DA. Key drivers here are that formal JIRA-ALIGN TRM approval from OIT, which provides top-level validation, and the sheer scale of the VA, implying massive complex ITSM and PPM needs.
So the play for the VA PMOs is straightforward.
Yes. The PPM play targeting the OIT and program offices uses the VA's own TRM approval as the core sales message. Your own IT leadership vetted and approved JIRA-ALIGN specifically because it provides critical functionality unavailable in your other standard tools. Let us show you how it solves your portfolio management challenges. It leverages their internal decision.
And what about the service management side, especially within the huge Veterans Health Administration, VHA?
The VHA is one of the largest healthcare delivery systems in the world, processing millions of veteran requests for appointments, benefits, support, etc. It represents a massive ITSM and potentially ESM opportunity. The play here is to take the DMA blueprint, the 39% productivity gain, the rapid implementation, and apply it to the VHA context. Target VHA leadership with the message. We can help you modernize your massive service desk operations, improve efficiency, and ultimately deliver better, faster service to veterans, just like we helped DMA improve their productivity by nearly 40%.
DoD, DHS, VA. Clear agency priorities. Now, let's get even more granular. Within these agencies, who are the key people, the personas, that the sales team needs to engage with, and what message resonates with each of them? Let's build that priority persona targeting matrix. Start at the top. The CIO, CISO.
Right, the Chief Information Officer and Chief Information Security Officer. Their world revolves around broad strategic concerns. Their key pain points are things like meeting FedATAR accountability requirements, breaking down those persistent data silos across the enterprise, managing overall cybersecurity risk, meeting modernization mandates from OMB and EO 14828, and justifying their huge IT budgets.
What's the Atlassian solution pitch tailored for them?
The solution is the full unified platform, ideally deployed on the secure AGC or data center isolated cloud, depending on security needs.
And the message, how do you connect the platform to their specific pains?
The message needs to be high level and focused on control and compliance. Look, the Atlassian platform gives you that single pane of glass you need. It connects your strategic investments and budget decisions, tracked in Jira Align, directly to the execution happening in development and operations. This provides the real-time visibility and traceability required for Fatara accountability. Simultaneously, it provides the integrated tooling and security controls like Atlassian Access for ZTA and the SBBOM management capabilities to meet your critical cybersecurity mandates from EO 14028. It transforms compliance requirements into demonstrable mission progress and justifies your IT spend.
Okay, COCISO is about strategic visibility, compliance, and accountability. Who's next? The Program Portfolio Manager, PMO, lead.
This persona lives in the complex middle ground between strategy and execution. Their pain points are much more operational and often center on managing sheer complexity. They struggle with prioritizing work across multiple teams or value streams, visualizing and managing the crazy cobweb of dependencies between projects, especially in large programs, and they desperately lack real-time visibility into cross-program risks and progress. They're often drowning in spreadsheets trying to connect the dots.
What's the targeted solution for the PMO lead?
Clearly, Jira Align.
And the message needs to hit those dependency and visibility pains directly.
Absolutely. The message is, we understand that managing cross-team dependencies and getting a true real-time view of your entire program or portfolio is your biggest headache. Jira Align is specifically designed to solve this. It provides a comprehensive real-time visualization of your entire value stream, automatically mapping dependencies and highlighting risks across multiple teams, programs, and even contractors. You can finally see where the real bottlenecks are and make data-driven decisions on prioritization. Remember, the VA OIT approved this tool precisely because it offered dependency management functionality unavailable elsewhere. Let it solve your most complex portfolio challenges.
Yeah. Okay, PMO is about taming complexity with Jira Align. Now, down to the trenches, the DevSecOps lead.
This persona is focused on the technical execution, building, securing, and deploying software efficiently. Their pain points are often technical and process-oriented. They wrestle with integrating a potentially complex and heterogeneous tool chain, maybe Jenkins for CI, SonarQube for code scanning, Artifactory for artifacts, various security tools. They're constantly searching for a governed set of tools that meet security requirements but doesn't stifle developer productivity. And they're now on the hook for implementing things like automated security scanning and SBOM generation within the pipeline.
What's the Atlassian solution tailored for the DevSecOps lead?
It's the core DevSecOps suite, Jira software, Bitbucket, Confluence, but positioned within the Open DevOps framework.
Open DevOps. Explain that angle in the message.
The message emphasizes integration and proven security. Your mission is to build a secure software factory that delivers value faster. Unlike closed, all-in-one platforms that might force vendor lock-in, Atlassian's Open DevOps approach embraces the reality of your environment. We integrate and orchestrate the best-of-breed tools you already use and trust, providing the flexible, automated backbone. We help you embed security checks directly into your Bitbucket pipelines, create the auditable trail needed for compliance, and generate SBOMs automatically. This is the same integrated approach using Iron Bank certified components on Platform 1 that allowed the USSF to achieve that 70% tempo increase. We provide the governed, integrated toolchain you need. Mentioning Iron Bank and Platform 1 is key for credibility with this audience in the DoD.
Okay, DevSecOps lead is about integration, automation, governance, and proven success. Finally, the crucial gatekeeper, often overlooked but essential, the contracting officer, CO.
Yes, the CO. Their world is driven by process, compliance, and risk aversion. Their pain points are navigating complex procurement regulations, ensuring compliance with federal acquisition rules, FAR, minimizing protest risk, and generally finding the lowest risk, easiest path to acquire the needed capability. They hate complexity and ambiguity.
So the solution you offer the CO isn't just the software itself, right?
Yeah.
It's the entire procurement package.
Exactly. The solution is the combination of Atlassian's compliance plus trusted partners plus established contract vehicles.
How do you translate that into a message that resonates with the risk-averse CO?
The message must scream low risk and easy button. This procurement path is designed to be the lowest risk option available. First, the core cloud offering, AGC, is already FedRAMP moderate authorized, meeting baseline federal security requirements out of the box. Second, you can acquire this solution through our trusted, experienced federal distribution partner, Carahsoft, who understands the intricacies of government procurement. Third, and crucially, Atlassian solutions are available on existing pre-competed government-wide acquisition contracts, GWCs, that you already use, like NASA SUPE or the DOE-D Enterprise Software Initiative, ESI agreements. This means the competition requirements are likely already satisfied, dramatically simplifying the process, reducing administrative burden, and minimizing protest risk. It's a compliant, streamlined, low-risk path.
FedRAMP authorized trusted partner existing contracts. That covers the STIA's main concerns.
It aims to make saying yes as easy as possible for them.
This detailed GTM plan prioritizing agencies, targeting personas with tailored messages, and smoothing the procurement path seems critical. But as we know, the federal market is fiercely competitive. Giants roam this landscape. So for part six, we must address competitive differentiation. How does Atlassian realistically stack up against the big incumbents like ServiceNow, Microsoft, and GitLab in this high-stakes, compliance-heavy federal environment?
Yeah, this is crucial. You can have the best strategy, but you need clear differentiation to win deals. Let's tackle them one by one based on the source analysis. First up, ServiceNow.
The 800-pound gorilla of ITSM, pushing hard into other areas, what's the core Atlassian win argument against ServiceNow in the federal space?
The concise version boils down to faster, cheaper, and natively connected to dev.
Okay, unpack faster and cheaper. What's the proof?
The proof points come from analyst data and case studies like DMA. Implementation speed. Sources cite industry averages, suggesting JSM implementations take around 1.2 months versus 4.5 months for a comparable ServiceNow deployment. That's a significant speed advantage, especially in the federal world where time to value is critical. Cost ROI, one-sided study reported JSM delivering a 277% ROI with a payback period of less than 6 months. And the DMA case study, the five-week transformation delivering 39% productivity gains, serves as the ultimate real-world validation that Atlassian can deliver ITSM modernization much faster and potentially more cost-effectively than traditional approaches often associated with ServiceNow.
So faster time to value, better ROI. What about connected to dev? That seems to be the recurring theme.
It's the fundamental architectural and philosophical difference. As we discussed, ServiceNow, coming from its idle roots, can sometimes inadvertently create or reinforce that operational silo between IT support and software development. Fixing bugs or implementing enhancements requested via service tickets often involves clunky handoffs or developers working in disconnected systems. Atlassian, with its deep roots in the developer community, offers that native unification. The seamless link between a JSM ticket and a Jira software issue eliminates that silo, fostering the collaboration and end-to-end traceability that modern DevSecOps and federal mandates require. That native integration is a key weakness to exploit against ServiceNow.
Okay, against ServiceNow, faster, cheaper breaks the DevOps silo. Next opponent, Microsoft with Azure DevOps and GitHub, huge federal footprint, massive enterprise agreements. How does Atlassian compete there?
The Atlassian win argument against Microsoft is best of breed, open, and superior federal compliance commitment.
Let's start with open versus closed.
Microsoft's strategy often pushes customers towards using their entire stack, Azure boards, Azure repos, Azure pipelines, all running on Azure. It's an all-in-one approach, which can feel like vendor lock-in to agencies. Federal agencies, particularly in the DoD, often have complex, heterogeneous environments built over years, using a mix of best-of-breed tools they already like and trust, maybe Jenkins for CI/CD, Sonargroup for code quality, Artifactory for artifact storage, etc. Atlassian's open DevOps approach explicitly embraces this reality. It's designed to integrate with and orchestrate those existing tools, providing a central hub, Jira, Bitbucket, Confluence, without forcing a complete rip and replace of everything else. This offers a more pragmatic, less disruptive path to modernization for many agencies.
So flexibility and integration versus potential lock-in. What about the compliance angle? You mentioned superior federal compliance commitment. Microsoft has GovClouds too?
They do, but the argument here focuses on purpose-built environments and the strategic roadmap. Microsoft cloud offerings, even their government clouds, often stem from their commercial-first architecture. This can sometimes create perceived risks or complexities around data sovereignty and meeting the absolute strictest federal requirements, particularly for sensitive data like CUI, ICAR, or DoD IL5, IL6 information.
And Atlassian's counter is their specific federal roadmap.
Exactly. Atlassian's tiered strategy AGC, FedRAMP Moderate Today, Data Center for Immediate High Control, and the specific isolated cloud roadmap targeting FedRAMP High and DoD IL5 is presented as being purpose-built from the ground up to address these unique, high-end federal security and data residency needs. The commitment to deliver a managed, single-tenant IL5 cloud provides a clear, long-term assurance for the most sensitive DoD and IC customers that might be harder for a primarily commercial platform to match credibly. It's about mitigating that highest level of compliance risk.
Okay, against Microsoft, open integration beats lock-in, and a more focused, high-security federal roadmap offers better compliance assurance. Final competitor, GitLab. Very strong in the pure DevSecOps space, often appealing directly to developers.
Right, GitLab is a formidable competitor on the DevSecOps tooling front. The Atlassian win argument against them is a complete enterprise platform, not just a dev tool.
Explain that distinction. Scope is the key differentiator.
Yes, fundamentally it's about scope. GitLab offers a very comprehensive integrated platform for the DevSecOps lifecycle, source code management, CI/CD, security scanning, package registry, etc. And they do it well. But Atlassian's positioning is much broader. It's an enterprise platform designed to connect work across the entire organization.
So where does GitLab fall short in that enterprise context?
GitLab simply doesn't have a comparable, mature, enterprise-grade answer for the other critical pillars of the system of work. They don't have an equivalent to Jira Service Management, JSM, for handling enterprise-scale ITSM and ESM use cases across the agency. And they don't have an equivalent to Jira Align for strategic portfolio management, budget allocation, and high-level dependency mapping needed by PMOs and CIOs.
So if an agency just needs to modernize its code pipeline, GitLab is a strong option. But if they want to connect that pipeline to the help desk and the strategic planning process,
then Atlassian argues they're the only viable solution that covers all three bases natively and at scale. An agency can define its strategy in Jira Align, have developers execute on it using Jira software and Bitbucket, integrated with other tools, and manage the resulting services and user support through JSM, all on one integrated platform. GitLab primarily serves only the middle execution piece of that end-to-end value stream, that broader strategic partnership potential helping run the entire mission, not just the code part, is Atlassian's key advantage over a more narrowly focused DevSecOps platform like GitLab. The VAOIT's decision on Jira Align implicitly recognized this need for capabilities beyond just core dev tools.
Okay, that clarifies the competitive positioning. Faster, cheaper, connected versus ServiceNow? Open compliant versus Microsoft, broader enterprise platform versus GitLab, it provides a clear narrative for each scenario.
That seems to be the strategy outlined.
This deep dive has been incredibly detailed, really laying out the case from mandates to platform to proof points to strategy. Let's try to bring it all together in an outro. Can you quickly recap those five strategic recommendations you distilled for achieving market dominance in the federal space?
Sure. First, lead with compliance, win on mission. Frame FedRAMP, ZPA, SBOMs not as roadblocks, but as the secure foundation for tangible mission acceleration. Strategy. Know exactly when to position AGC, FedRAMP mod, data center, CUI air gap now, and isolated cloud, IL5 FedRAMP high future, to meet any agency's security needs credibly.
Third.
Weaponize the case studies. Systematically use the USSF 70% tempo increase, the DMA 5-week ITSM transformation, and the VA's Jira Align TRM approval as reputable blueprints to address specific agency pain points and lower perceived risk.
Fourth.
Embrace the channel and simplify procurement. Make it easy for contracting officers. Leverage trusted partners like Carahsoft and pre-competed contracts like NASA SOUP and DUDE ESI to streamline the buying process.
And finally, number five.
Target the trifecta. You have to win hearts and minds at multiple levels simultaneously. Engage the DevSecOps lead, bottom-up technical validation, the program manager, middle-out complexity management, and the CIO-COSO, top-down compliance and strategy, with tailored messages that all point back to the unified platform vision.
Excellent summary. And if you had to synthesize the ultimate takeaway from all this analysis, the core value proposition for Atlassian and the federal government, what would it be?
I think it really boils down to this. Atlassian's unique value proposition for the U.S. federal government is its demonstrated ability to translate mandatory, often complex, security compliance, driven by things like EO 14028, and the push for zero trust into tangible, quantifiable mission acceleration, validated by results like that stunning 70% launch tempo increase achieved by the Space Force. They connect the dots between security necessity and mission velocity.
Making compliance the enabler, not the inhibitor.
Exactly. When you can do that, you become an indispensable partner, not just another tool vendor.
That brings us to our final provocative thought for you, our listener. As we've explored today, the future of federal technology really seems to hinge on whether agencies can move beyond merely checking the box on compliance mandates to actually operationalizing those mandates into smoothly integrated, mission-focused workflows. So reflect on your own organization, your specific mission needs, and your data sensitivity. Which of those three Atlassian deployment models we discussed, the baseline FedRAMP Moderate Atlassian Government Cloud, the self-managed data center for immediate high-control needs like CUI, or that strategic roadmap towards the future high-security isolated cloud, which of those best aligns with your agency's most complex, most sensitive, highest security requirements, not just in the future, but starting today? Something to consider as you navigate your own modernization journey.